This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland, 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
See, church, we must refuse to allow church to be just a place we go to fulfill our quota, to fulfill our... Church must be the very place or the very essence of life, where our life flows. When you get to such a mode, you become the church. When you become the church, you don't have to wait for a Sunday experience. When you become the church, it is an everyday experience in your life. But when church is just a place where I can go and just fulfill my religious quota, then we miss it. We miss it. And this is what Jesus was always talking about. He says, the time is coming and now is when people will worship him, what? In truth and in spirit. Because you are spirit. You don't leave your spirit in your closet when you go to work. You don't leave your spirit at home when you go to the restaurant. You are spirit and you carry yourself there. And so worship happens in the spirit. And when you come together in an environment like this, many spirits worshiping the spirit, worshiping God. That is why the angels in heaven, when you hear the angelic voices, the Bible tells us that things happen. That is why David was connected in the spirit first. That is why he was able to dance with all his might before the Lord and by the ark of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Amen. Those that need to go to children's church, we can... We are released for children's church and youth church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I please have a microphone, an extra microphone? Oh, I'll pick one from here. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? Can I have some people that are here with me? Those amens. Can I have some people that are here with me?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is good all the time. God is good. And all the time. God is good. What does that mean? What does God is good mean? Because we say it all the time. God is good. What does it mean? So it means that is his nature. Okay. I need somebody that can explain to me, when you say God is good, what do you mean? Somebody. Oh my goodness. You always say God is good, but you're not ready to talk about what you mean. I heard a voice. He said, please come, my sister. Please come. Please come and tell us what, when you say God is good and all the time, what do you mean? Amen. Hallelujah. Is this on?
Just the word good, kind of, it's like an umbrella for so many things that he is. He's faithful. He's just. He's never failing. What he says he would do, he would do.
Amen.
He's constantly on our side. He has our best interest at heart. So it's a whole lot of things that is in just that word.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. He is faithful. There is no God. By the way, let me spoil her testimony. She has a great testimony, but I'll spoil it for her. Amen. She says no, she'll do it herself. Amen. She did. She spoke to me with her head. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Today is the last Sunday of February. We've been 2 months into this great year so far. 2 months into this great year. I need somebody to just tell me in these 2 months what you've been learning and how you are applying it in your life. We come to church to... and to do what? We come to be empowered to learn, to fellowship with other believers, to connect with God and to do all one. But primarily, when we come to be refueled so we can go out there and do what we need to do. Amen? So I need somebody to just give me a summary of what we've been learning. You don't have to pick all Sundays that you've been here or Wednesdays, but you can pick something from where we've been. Amen? I need one person. Don't look down, because if you're looking down, it means you've either I've been doing a very bad job or you have been doing a very bad job of listening. One of the two, right? Maybe you hear me, but you don't listen. Or I'm doing a bad job of teaching. It's one or the other. Thank you. We've had seven Sundays. Pick something. I know what has been going on every one of those seven Sundays, so I'll know whatever you pick.
Okay, praise God, church.
Amen.
Yeah. I've learned to sacrifice myself to God.
Amen.
I've learned to pray and to be serious with my prayers. I sacrifice myself to God. Actually, I built an altar in my own house.
Amen.
Even if I live by myself, but I know the altar is there. So I wake up every morning at 6, I get down on the altar. Then at midnight, before, of course, I used to pray like every time in the morning at 6 o'clock. But when pastor's been teaching about sacrificing ourselves to God, then I added on at midnight, at the 12th hour, I have to be down on my knees. So, and it's working for me. I really praise God for that.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. So she talked about the first Sunday building an altar, and the second Sunday we talked about being a living sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me have somebody else. Yes, sir.
I come back to unity. We learned about unity. If you don't flow in unity, then you are distracted. And your purpose, you have no purpose in life. So you have to be in unity. Same as the family should be in unity. The wife and the husband should be in unity. They should pray together. As he said, at midnight hour, you pray. You wake up and pray. Things break.
Amen.
Things break. Healing takes place. Everything that you think of, God is not small. He's big. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that was our empowerment night. We dealt with the issues of unity and the power of unity and what things happen. So we've talked about being a living sacrifice, about building an altar, about being a people of unity. I need a few more. Don't look down. This side, I know you've been in church. Okay, I'll start picking now. Mrs. Jean, come tell us what you've been learning. I pick you, then I'll pick Miss Faith. Get ready. At least she can go to her notes and say, well, this is what I wrote. It's better you write notes and learn, right? Amen.
Okay. There's many things that we've learned. I'll just recap that we should make the Lord the King of our lives, and the fire of God must fall over our lives, and we need grace to step into new beginnings.
Amen. Praise God. So she entered into the third week. We talked about grace for new beginnings, and the fourth week of January, we talked about the fire of God falling over our lives. Amen. Child of God, if you just begin to walk in these things and practice these things, trust me, new beginnings will be a reality in your life. All right, so we talked about what happened in January. So we had three Sundays in February. I need just three more people to talk about February. Hallelujah. Thank you, my dear Miss Faith. Come.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I think we also learned about dealing with offenses. And Pastor said offenses come through words and through thoughts when we are immature in the faith. And the signs that we are offended or we have offenses, we break off fellowship, friendships, and even marriages. We betray people. We keep replaying the issues. And also, he talked about if offenses are not properly handled. We read Ephesians, Matthew, and then we walk in bitterness. And then the way to counteract the offenses, we have to love and feed on the word of God. We read Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Psalms, and Matthew.
Amen. Dealing with offenses in our season of new beginnings. Hallelujah. You cannot enter a place of new beginnings and you are carrying a boatload of offenses. Everybody, you will either offend someone or you will be offended by somebody. It's a given for as long as you live in this earth. If you missed any of these messages, they are on the app. Right, Brother Hillary? They are on the app. So go to the app, listen to these messages. They are all on the app. And you can go to the website. The video messages are there as well. Some of them. Amen. All right. So in February, we still had a few more weeks in February. Pastor Judy taught about something. Yes? Somebody else? Amen. I have two hands. So you go and then she'll go. Your hand went up. No. There's no changing your mind. The first step is the first. Yeah. So. Amen. And then we had another hand in the back.
Not really prepared. That's why I changed my mind. So, Pastor Mona talked about something to do with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was in January. I don't know.
Those empowerment night.
Okay. So, I have learned that having compassion for others is actually very important. It is interesting that it's taught in church, but in my experience, you don't find a lot of compassion in the church. So I do, my prayer is that we really take away from these messages, because I've also learned that compassion is one of the so many ways that you can bring people to God by extending yourself to others.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful. So compassion, we need compassion in the house of God, not just on our lips, but in our actions. Amen. All right. So I see two more hands, but I had one hand in the back. And we have Brother Mwanza as well. Is there another hand? Another hand? Brother Nyanga, that was a hand up, right? yes, you're excused, but she has been here some of the time. yes, go ahead.
Pastor Judy told us that you don't ask God, why me? Instead, you say, basically, yes, me. That even though that it's a year of new beginnings, that trials and tribulations will still come forth. But those trials and tribulations will make us who we are and make our testimony.
Amen. Amen. That we should not look at our circumstances and stay down, but we should arise and embrace the change that God brings in a season of new beginnings. Amen. Hallelujah. This is powerful. This is powerful. I love this. I love this. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
With the notes I have, Pastor Judy talked about embracing change, that we should embrace change, open to the Holy Spirit or the voice of God, and stay in our lane. I was summarizing anyway. Learn to the voice of God by following his word, Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. All things work for good, together for good. We need to follow Jesus so we don't have to get into the ditch. Joshua 1 verse 9. Be strong and of good courage. 1 Timothy 4. Verse 15, take heed to your ministry and be an example to the believers. I was just doing a summarization.
Amen, amen. We thank God. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. So, think about this, friends. Just put all those messages we are hearing. Be a living sacrifice. Walk in compassion. Allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Become an altar. Deal with the offenses in your life. Walk in unity. Do you think that if you apply those things in your life, you'll be the same? There is no way you can be the same. There is no way agape as a church can be the same. Amen. So, what then is the challenge? Because, trust me, we hear these things, but do we always apply them? The whole point of preaching and teaching is such so that we do what? We apply them in our lives. Hallelujah. You see, we have made a perfection of the art of coming to church. And many of us sit in church, we hear, but we don't really listen. And when we leave, by Tuesday, we don't even remember what we were learning in church. The only thing we remember are the conversations, the fellowship. Part of coming to church is fellowship, the fellowship after the service. That's also a very important aspect, by the way, of church. Many of us remember those conversations more than we remember the teaching. And I believe that in the season of new beginnings, it is time for us to shift. It is time for us to change. It is time for us to begin to apply things in our lives. Just take just one thing. One thing. The things that we've learned over the last two months. Just take one thing and say, I'm going to run with this the whole year. Your life will never be the same. The day that I made a choice to begin to actually listen and apply what I'm learning is the day my life, my spiritual walk began to shift. Am I speaking to somebody today? Trust me, friends. God has been speaking. Many of us, we are looking for a new message. We're looking for a new word. But do you know that there is no word that God will give you that he has not yet given you before? It may come in a different package or in a different form, but God has already spoken. That is why you remember in the book, I think it was Ezekiel and Jeremiah, he told them, Jeremiah said, listen, these people don't hear me. And God said, I will also make your head hard so that you will not be affected by their inability to follow what you are saying. Are you hearing me? So Jeremiah's head was made hard so that he also became insensitive to the response of the people, and he continued preaching the word. The Bible says, he spoke with many words, they did not hear him. So God knows that the word will come and we will not hear. We will not hear. I don't know about you, but many times I've found myself in a ditch. And whenever I've cried to God, God is always saying, remember that day. Remember that day. You find God has given you a warning 3-4 times and you landed in the ditch because you did not hear what God said. Or you heard, but you chose not to heed. Hallelujah. So it is important. I just want to steer you up, friends. Steer your passion to listen and to heed the word of God in your life. Because can you imagine? This is interesting. One time I preached a message and somebody came to tell me, Pastor, you have preached that message 3 times. Now, that message, I had preached it over a space of 3 years. It was the same message. And God would tell me, go back and preach this message. And somebody else came and told me, wow, Pastor, that was really wow. But that person had been, I remember that they had been in church the time I was preaching the messages. Are you hearing me? So, what is that telling you? somebody is hearing or listening, and somebody is not. Now, I understand that when we come to the house of God, we come with different, there are days when we are off. How many are off on some days? I mean, let's just be real. Some days we are off, including me. Some days I'm off. But you are in the house of God. Why? Because it is your call to be in the house of God. But there are days that you are off. When I say off, you are here, but you are not here. Even right now, some people are here, but you are not here. It's just the reality of life. It's just the reality of life. Huh? Hallelujah. It's just the reality of life. Some days we are off. I remember one time, I was, actually not even one time, last week or the other week, I came into church, and you know, so I was walking, I think I had to leave the chair and go somewhere where worship was going on, and as I was walking back in, and the worship was so powerful, and I found somebody on Facebook. So, this was, I'm not talking about 3 years ago, I'm talking about the last 2 weeks. And I walked in, I'm not going to say which chair, which aisle, because you know yourself. But the person was on Facebook, and then they saw me, and then they kind of did their phone. It is not me you have come to meet. It is God. It is God who sees. So, that to tell me, that person at that point, although you are lifting hands and you're worshiping, you're off, you're disconnected. You're not there. It's your body is here, but you're not there. You see, one of the things we need to be careful of is that the devil will allow, he knows he cannot stop you from coming to church. But he can stop you from catching what is in the church, what is going on in the service. He won't stop you from coming because he knows you can't stop. And some of us, we're just pushed. We're just pulled. Today, you're going. You're going. No. Today, you're going. And so you show up. So your mind is not there. Trust me, is there anything on Facebook or on WhatsApp that cannot wait? I remember many years ago, this testimony really stuck with me. I think it was in 2007. So we had somebody come to church to visit. I think they were not a member of the church. Were they? I think they were. I don't remember. Their son had an accident. Was it an accident or they were sick in South Africa? And something happened to their child that day. But now they were in church, and so they were busy trying to reach her. You remember that lady? They were busy trying to reach her, but she was in church and her phone, you know, it was God's time. As we were preaching in church, God moved on me. And I called her. And I said, we need to pray for your child. We had no idea. We did not know what was going on. We prayed. We prayed and I said, it is well. She got out of church. That time we used to meet at the school. She got out of church. Picked up her phone and she looked at the phone. There were 12, 15 phone calls. They were trying to reach her. And she calls back. She says, your son has just been involved here. It was life threatening, but suddenly things have turned around. Now, can you imagine if that person, every time the phone ping, 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 pick up and they go out, the focus is not there. God was not going to move in that situation because your focus is somewhere else. You would have now come out, oh my gosh, my bags, pack your bags, choo, gone. Like you can do anything in South Africa when you're here. You won't. Are you hearing me, friends? You see, we minimize the things that God does or God or how God works. That is why he says, go into my house. There I will meet with you. That's just one testimony. I remember one time, I think we were still at the school. I think it was Resurrection Power Conference. Remember that lady? There was a person that came to church and the child had gone mental. At home. The child had gone mental at home. On that Sunday, Resurrection Power Conference, in our conference, when the conference was, she came forward for prayer. Prayer happened and the power of God manifested. When she went back home, She found her daughter in her right frame of mind. She had even cut her hair. She never used to eat, never used to. She found her daughter had bath. And some of you may remember, she even brought the child for our Friday night when we were at 501 Sligo as a testimony. Do you remember that? She brought the child. So this testimony. So, friends, we minimize how God works. But God is always looking for you. He's always wanting to touch you. He's always wanting to do something with you. But when we minimize God and we go to the house of God as a point of convenience, trust me, God will not meet you at your as a point of convenience. God's not going to meet you. Because, you see, the minute you minimize the workings of God in your life, He will also minimize His power in your life. Are you hearing me, friends? He will also minimize His power. So whatever you do, refuse to minimize the handiwork of God in your life. Some things look so simple. They look so little. But in the eyes of God, they are big. They are big. God is faithful. Amen. Is this helping somebody? Pastor, you haven't given us scripture. You haven't given us what? Do you remember? When you look in the Bible, do you see Jesus when he went into the congregation, into the service on the Sabbath? What was he doing? Was he just speaking, standing there and preaching? No. He was conversing. He would talk, he would ask a question, and he would. But today we have perfected the art of coming to watch an actor. You come to church to watch an actor in church because we are not engaged. We come in to watch the praise team act. Because many people act. We come to watch a praise team act. I'm not saying agape praise. I'm saying generally. People in church, they act. Because I remember one time I was with the elder. We went somewhere. There was a powerful service. I don't think you remember, but maybe after I say it, you remember. We went somewhere. I think Pastor Ziva was there too. And we went to this meeting. I think our praise team had been invited as well to go to some place. And after this team came in and it was powerful. Oh man, the place, everybody was like, wah, la, la, la. Immediately after that, the whole team was outside smoking and drinking. And then everybody was like, what happened? But why? To them, it was just a performance. It was just a group. Okay? And then the language and everything was so different. It's like, oh, these are the same people that were leading people in worship. Ask the pastor, where did you get this group from? So, oh, you know what? I was passing in the streets of Baltimore and I found them. I liked the way they played. I invited them in, and they led worship in the service. But you see, We can blame that pastor. However, we need to understand that the devil has come in very subtly into our world. Okay? And in fact, today, the minute I was watching something, I was reading something about some artist that sang gospel. And people are saying, well, that's beautiful. We need to allow that. Let me tell you. You can say all the right Jesus words. If your spirit and your heart are not connected, you are wasting your time. And that is what people need to understand. That God is not after what you say. God is not after how you act. God is after your heart. The position of your heart. Listen, there are people that when we put them here and they sing, you will feel goosebumps. You will feel like heaven has come down. But it is not heaven that has come down. We need to understand that when we sing or when we talk, just because we mention, listen, anybody in this place can put, there are people in here, you can preach better than me. Right in here, you can preach better than me. There are people, friends, that can preach better than you and me, and they are not born again. They are not born again. I met a pastor who was pastoring for 15 years. And they got born again after pastoring for 15 years. Are you hearing me, friends? I don't know why I was led to go in this direction. But I want you to understand that what you have is precious. What you have is precious. Don't minimize it. Don't minimize it. Can you imagine leading people praying for 15 years and you never knew God? You were just religious. It was habitual. Many of you, you've done religious education in school and the person studied. Listen, people go to study theology. They study the work, but they are studying it. It's a book. This is a book of philosophy. I remember there was a professor at Liberty University that was teaching a class and they did not believe in the virgin birth. But they were teaching a theology class. Are you hearing me, friends? There was a pastor in Canada. He was preaching in his church. And he said, I don't believe in the virgin birth, but I believe that Jesus died for my sins. It's either you believe the whole Bible or you believe nothing. Because there can never be a cross without the virgin birth. There can never be somebody. The only reason Jesus died for you and me is because he had no sin and he was the acceptable sacrifice before God. He had no sin because he was not born of man. He was born of God. Because anything born of man, listen friends, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says God created Adam according to his what? Image. And by the time you get to Genesis chapter 4, chapter 5, the Bible says Adam had a son in his own image. Ah. You think you are in the image of God. No. The Bible is very clear. God created Adam in his own image. Genesis chapter 5, Adam had a son in whose image? His own image. And named him Seth. And then men began to call on God. Between the time Cain and Abel, to the time he had Seth, people had already forgotten God. It was after he had Seth, in whose image? In his image, not in the image of God. And it is from there that all of you come from. We come from the image of Seth, in Adam's image. That is why the Son of Man, the Son of God had to become the Son of Man to redeem you and me. So how then can you stand and say, well, I don't believe in this virgin business, but I can believe in the cross because it is a historical fact. It is proven by history that Jesus hung on a cross. So that I can believe in. And that is, we can laugh at those things and we can wonder at those things, but that's exactly how you and I are today. We live life and you say, I'm a Christian, we have the right Christian needs, we speak in tongues, we do all kinds of things, but can our life, when it is put on a magnifying glass, can it be seen that Christ is in us? Can it be seen in our professional circles? Can it be seen in our family circles, in our social circles? Can it be seen that Christ is in us? Oh, yeah, we are always looking for the next great word. The next great word. Can you be? Let's stop fooling ourselves. Even me who's preaching, I should stop fooling myself. Because it's easy to preach a storm and not believe a word you say. It's very easy. Oh, trust me, it's very easy. When you have put enough of the word of God in you, you'll be picked up and say, preach. I'll preach for 2 hours. I may not even feel it, but this is the topic. Here, say something. I don't feel it. Say something. You can say it. Why? Because that is what you do. Look, I can pick any of you because it is what you do. You won't think twice about it. You will talk about it. You talk about it. I'll say, can you please come and talk a little bit about printing? Do you have to go and say, let me go and study? No, because it's in here. It's in here. I'll call my brother here and say, can you talk to us about finances and stuff like that and countries and whatever? You don't have to say, well, first let me go and check my textbook. You just stand up and you do it. Even if you don't feel like it, you will do it. That's how we are. So we put enough in it, of the word in our hearts, in our lives. But how much of that do we actually practice. That's why today we have a lot of talking Christians, but very few practical Christians. Oh, I like that. It just dropped into my heart. A lot of talking Christians, very few practical Christians, including the one who's talking. Sometimes I get myself caught up. You know you're most naked in front of your family, in front of your children. And so sometimes you say stuff, or you do stuff, and your children will look at you and say, this is the pastor. So you hold yourself back and say, I have to be honest. You see, people come in church, we look so nice and holy. We look like we can never do wrong. We do. We do mess up. We do mess up. I remember coming from work the other day. Was that Thursday or Sunday? I came home and I was telling my wife, I had a very bad day that day. And I read some email, and I responded from that email without even thinking. The email just put me off, and I responded harshly. And then the Spirit of God arrested me and said, read it again. And I read the email, and I said, then I read what it was actually now saying. I was like, God. But you see, because I was having a bad day, the first sentence is what pricked me, and I didn't really think through it, and responded. And thank God, whoever I wrote to, I think just said, what's up with this guy? And just ignored me. But what's the point? I'm saying, every one of us, we have bad days. We have bad moments. But it is what we do, how we do it. The Holy Spirit arrested me immediately. But I had already hit send. Too late. It's gone. So I prayed. So what did God do to help me? God touched the person on the end of that email to ignore whatever I wrote. And the matter... God has a way. But it still struck me. I was so bothered by it that when I came home, I just had to tell. I said, you know what? Today I had a really bad day. Can you imagine? Because I was still feeling so bad about it. That's what the Holy Spirit will do to you. Whenever you find yourself in positions that are not in line with Him, He will prick you, convict you. That's how you know that I have the Holy Spirit in me. Because some of us, we insult people, we talk ill about people, we don't even think twice about it. We tell off people, we don't even think twice about it. We even feel good. In fact, by the time when we go and tell a hubby at home, the hubby even says, yeah, you did right. You did right. In fact, that's all you did. You should have even put some more. Then you know the Holy Spirit is missing here. I remember when I was growing up, people would, you know, when you go to somebody and you tell them about what somebody did, they would stoke the fire. They would even say, come on, tomorrow we are going. Oh, my goodness. Growing up where I grew up, you're better off. If you don't want problems, don't tell anyone your issues. I'll go, I had this cousin of mine, if you tell him that, oh, that boy there, this is what he did, he'll keep quiet. He'll say, okay. In the morning, he said, put on your shoes. We go outside, he picks sticks, he picks stones, he calls Jim, he calls Joseph. I said, what are we doing? Oh, last night, that boy, this is what he did. And fire continues. And if we lose the battle, the next day, we have to say, tomorrow at the garden. So we go and hire more, and they also hire more. Oh, you've never been in my world. You've not been in my world. You see, some of us just knew to start fires, and we knew there were bullies around who would help us. We never were the ones fighting. You're always in the back and say, yes! Yes! Even yesterday, yes! But you see, even adulthood, many of us do the same. That tells you the Holy Ghost is not there. He's not. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many are blessed today? God is faithful. God is faithful. So what are we saying, friends? In conclusion, let's run the race. Let's run this race in such a manner that we'll get the gold. Let's run this race with discipline. We just finished watching the Winter Olympics. I love the Winter Olympics because of the beauty of, oh my goodness, when they're just on that ice and just what goes on, the skating thing, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's just so elegant and so. But you know what? It looks so easy, but do you know how much work goes in there? You see, the Olympics were actually started even before the Bible was written, by the way. That is why if you read in the book of Timothy, Paul, when you look at it, he's always either, the examples he makes is either of an athlete or of a soldier. When he talks about the athlete, he's talking of the Olympics. And he's talking about how the discipline levels to catch the gold. That's why he says the way an athlete trains and practices for a crown is the same way you should do it. But for you, it is for a crown that is not perishing. It is not for the gold. So your life, do you run it in such a way that you get the gold of heaven? I'm not talking about the gold money, no, but the eternal crown of heaven. There will be many of us surprised at our failure to enter heaven, and yet we say Jesus, Jesus all the time. Let us run our race in such a way that when all is said and done, we can say, I know my Redeemer lives, and I know where I am going. God bless you. Amen. Let's just rise to our feet. We've been reminding ourselves today about the importance of not just being a habitual Christian, but the importance of actually being connected to God and actually walking the talk. Look at somebody and just tell them it is time to walk the talk. In your season of new beginnings, walk the talk. Refuse the lie of Satan. That just tells you because you're a Christian, or that because you say you're a Christian, you can live your life anyhow. Your life is not yours. It belongs to Jesus. Live your life in a manner that will please Jesus. Now look at yourself and just say, self. Live the life that will reap eternal gold. Refuse mediocrity. Self, you are extraordinary. You are unique. You are a child of God. Self, you are wonderfully made. God knew you before you manifested on this earth. In this season of new beginnings, self, be all that you can be because of Christ and what he has done for you. Amen. 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 Let's just